Hello, this is Tom Campbell, host of a series of interviews with local band members and music industry professionals from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Today's interview is with Dan Holm from The Chancellors. Hello, this is Tom Campbell. Today is August 20th, 2017, and I'm talking on the phone with Dan Holm from The Chancellors. Dan, could you tell us your full name, date of birth, and hometown, please?
Yeah, I'm Daniel Holm, and I was born January 1946, and I was born in Duluth, Minnesota.
When did you move to the Twin Cities?
Oh, that was ninth grade. When I was starting ninth grade, we moved to the Twin Cities.
What part of town did you move to?
We went to, I guess they call it Linden Hills.
Okay, and when did you become interested in music?
When I was in high school, it was in the ninth grade, we went to a sock hop at Southwest High School where I was going to school. And playing there was a three-piece group called the Tempest Trio. During their break, I went up and talked to them, and they let me know that they're being paid $45 for the band for that gig. And that's the first I'd ever heard that you could make money playing music. You know, my previous exposure had been the church choir. I hadn't really played anything publicly. That's when I first became interested. I thought, well, if I could make some money, I might as well do it, because I already knew how to play the piano. But then I got a guitar for Christmas. I think it was 1961. And that changed things a little bit. I started to get interested in it, pick up an interest in it. And,
do you recall what kind of guitar you got?
Yeah, I do recall that. It was a Archtop F-hole Montgomery Ward acoustic guitar.
Did you take guitar lessons, or did you teach yourself how to play?
No, I taught myself. A friend across the street, Steve Adams, also had a guitar, and his brother played, I think it was banjo, in a folk band at the time. And so Steve had a guitar, and he and his brother jam a little bit, but his brother got busy with other things, and so Steve and I started to just jam together, and what we did was to tune our guitars to an open E chord, lesson that we learned from Bo Diddley. That's how he tuned his guitar, apparently. And it was much easier to play chords, you know, especially the three chord progressions in most of the songs in those days. We just reach fingers all the way across the neck and go from one fret to the fourth or the fifth fret or whatever the song called for. It was very easy. We didn't have to learn any chord formations or anything.
Okay, so this is early 1962, correct?
Yes.
Steve Adams and you are both sophomores at Southwest High School in Minneapolis?
We were.
Okay, and the two of you were jamming together at your house, is that what happened?
In my house and his house, up in his bedroom, and then down in the basement in my house.
Do you recall the address you lived at?
Yeah, 4110. Upton Avenue South.
So what happens next?
Well, we kept jamming and, you know, mostly we just played. He'd take a melody and I'd play the chord, and then I'd take a melody and he'd play the chord, and that went on for a while. And then our first gig was just he and I playing guitars for a fellow classmate at a little backyard patio party she had at her house overlooking Lake Harriet.
Did you actually get paid for that gig?
Oh, yeah. She paid us $5.
Nice.
We're happy.
Okay. So after that job as a duo, what happens next?
Well, this was like 60 years ago, so I'm going to do my best to remember. Steve knew a drummer who was a year behind us in school at Southwest, and that drummer's name was John Hughes. And he lived down on Xerxes, just a few blocks from school. And we just started to get together. He came over with his snare drum and a pair of drumsticks one day and started playing his snare drum in Steve's bedroom. And we thought, well, okay, that works. And so John I think he had a snare drum and from school, and I believe he may have had a bass drum too. But it wasn't enough to, you know, really back up a couple of guitar players. So he looked around and eventually rented his drums for our first gig. We practiced a little bit. Mostly it was instrumentals. We picked away at melodies, and one of us would play the melody, the other would play the chords, and John would play the beat.
Did you have a name for the band?
Yeah, we called it the Continentals.
Who came up with the name?
I don't remember how we came up with the name.
Do you recall your first job, official job, as the Continentals?
Yeah, the first time we actually had an official job was at a sock hop at Southwest High School in April 6, 1962. We were to play in between sets for the disc jockey was spinning 45 RPM records on a little portable record player with no additional sounds, not like DJs today. It was just a record player and some records in the gymnasium. And we, at first they wanted us to pay to get in like everybody else, but somehow we talked them out of that, and we came in and set up, and we played during the break, and eventually they did pay us $30, and which was nice of them, because they didn't have to. We didn't really negotiate a price when we started. So we were actually just kind of, we just wanted to play. That worked out pretty well, and eventually, toward the end of the sock hop, we were playing the majority of the time, and the record player was playing during our breaks. It kind of flip-flopped right there. It was an organic sort of a development, which turned out to work out well. Everybody seemed to enjoy it.
Now, for this job, did you have your acoustic guitars, or did you switch to electric?
No, for this job, this was the first time we actually thought we were going to play, so we went into... rented a couple of SG Standard guitars, the red cherry ones, beautiful guitars, and rented an amplifier, or maybe there was, no, there was just, I think there was just one Gibson amplifier, but there might have been two, from Raleigh Williams Music Company in St. Louis Park, little music store on the main drag there. I think we might have paid $30 for that, so we broke even.
And you would have been playing mostly instrumental songs at this party?
Oh, yeah, it was probably all instrumental songs at the party. There wasn't any microphone.
Can you give us a list of some of the songs you played and the artists at that time?
Oh, okay. There was Harlem Nocturne by the Viscounts, Tequila by a group called the Champs, Malaguena, which is an old Spanish tune, but this we did the Dick Dale and the Deltones version. He's a California guy. Tico Tico. We took the melody from a recording by the Andrews Sisters and just played the melody. The Stroll, and that was by a group called the Diamonds. Ghost Riders in the Sky from Vaughn Monroe. Rumble, Link Ray, that was an easy one. That was a big favorite. Perfidia from the Ventures. Sleepwalk, and that was made famous by Santo and Johnny. Memphis by Lonnie Mack, and I don't recall how good of a job we did on Memphis, but we did try to play it. And Hey Bo Diddley, of course, by Bo Diddley. And there was a song by a German artist called Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N. I think it was a vocal, but we played the instrumental part. And then Walk Don't Run by the Ventures, too. Those are some of them. I'm sure we played more, but I just can't recall what they were at this time.
So what happens next with the Continentals?
After that sock hop took place, word started to get out, and we started to get calls for other such gatherings, sock hops and little dances and things like that. And we'd play at places like St. Michael's Church Fellowship Hall for a little dance for the kids that were members of that church, and played at St. Louis Park High School, because at that point John was going to St. Louis. No, wait a second. We didn't play at St. Louis Park just yet. But we did play a couple of other high schools, St. Anthony, or Susan B. Anthony Junior High. We started playing at a place in North Minneapolis called Camden Hall. There was probably still there, down from the Guthrie Center in Minneapolis, was a big the Catholic Church Basilica. And we played upstairs there a few times for their dances, for their kids. We had to carry our equipment up, seemed like 100 stairs to get up to the top where this meeting room was.
And I understand at some point here you ran into a bass player.
Yeah, well, he was probably at the Basilica Dance or the St. Michael's Dance or one of those places. He was a student. Tom DiBiasso was a student at De La Salle High School. We may have actually played at De La Salle for a dance. He was a bass player. And so we thought, well, yeah, we could use a bass player. And so we added him. And then it was me on the guitar and Steve all on the guitar and Tom DiBiasso on the bass and John on the drums. By that time, John had a pretty good drum collection.
Now, when did Tom DiBiasso join the band?
May 1963.
And what happens next with the Continentals?
Well, we kept playing and more parties and dances at schools and churches. And then, along about October of 63, Steve Adams and Tom DiBiasso both quit the band. John, at that point, had moved to St. Louis Park and was going to St. Louis Park High School. When John transferred to St. Louis Park High School, he lived on Glenhurst Avenue, one block away from another student at St. Louis Park named Dave Rifkin. And Dave was a guitar player, and he did a little singing, too. He and John had met at school, and John decided that he should be given a chance in the group because he was a guitar player who was looking for something to do, too. So he joined the band. And then we had Dave and me and John. Mike came into the picture to play guitar, rhythm guitar mostly, after his band disbanded or something. It was called Mike and the Shadows.
Now, this is Mike Judge?
Yeah, Mike Judge. I don't recall how we met Mike, but he was a rhythm guitar player. And that's what I was doing at the time, and so we decided that I would go to the bass and bring Mike into the band as rhythm player. And the reason we picked Mike and decided to have him in the band was because he sang most of his songs. We weren't doing a whole lot of singing at the time, and so we thought, well, maybe we should have some singing. And plus, the big reason he got into the band was because he had a car, his own car. He could drive us around.
Okay, so he was like a year older than you guys?
Yeah, well, I was the oldest in the group, and Mike was a year older than me.
And I understand you had a name change here at some point, too.
There was a situation where we got a phone call one day from someone. I don't remember the name. I know who it is now. But back then, we didn't know who it was, and they said that their band was called the Continentals and that we had to change the name of our band.
That would be Ron Butwin, correct?
Yeah, and I think Zippy was in there, too, Tom Kaplan.
So you needed a new band name. What did you come up with?
Well, we thought about all kinds of different names and played with them, and we all brought some to the meeting. And Dave had a record of 45 in his house, and on the record label was the Chancellors, and we looked at it, and yeah, it clicked. That was it. So we copied the name, and we even copied the font, the print font.
Chancellor was the name of the record label, correct?
Yeah. The name of the record label.
What happens next with the Chancellors?
Well, I guess after that point, once we changed our name, we kept playing more and more. But David was a pretty good guitar player, and we had an excellent drummer in John. Mike was a really good singer, and I was a pretty good bass player, so we were starting to sound pretty good. We ran into Dick Shapiro and Ira Heiliker, who already had one band, called the Valve Dons, I think it was, and they were looking for another band, and they heard us. I think Ira went to St. Louis Park also, and David might have known him. They came and listened to us and decided to book us.
Now, they had a company called Path Productions, correct?
Yeah, they called their booking agency Path Productions. That stood for, the PA part was for Park, St. Louis Park, and TH was the last two letters of North. Dick Shapiro went to school, or maybe it was the other way around. Dick went to St. Louis Park and Ira went up to North. Yeah, I think that's how it worked. St. Louis Park High School student, and Ira Heiliker was a North High School student, and so PA for Park and TH for North. Path makes Path. That's how they came up with the name.
And I believe you told me before there was a reason they wanted more than one band on their booking, for their booking company.
Yeah, Ira told me once that they had a gig booked with the Valdons, their one and only band, and they weren't able to come to the gig for, well, I don't know exactly what the reason was, but it sounded just about right for musicians, why they couldn't make it. And so Dick and Ira had to throw together something immediately, or they were going to lose the gig. So they called some of their friends who came in at the last minute, and they all joined in, up on the stage, and they were playing tambourines and conga drums, and I don't know if they did any singing or anything, but neither Dick nor Ira were musicians. In fact, there weren't any musicians on the stage that night. They just winged it for the night. And who knows what that must have sounded like, but they got through it and they got paid and they were happy. But at that point, they decided they needed more than one band because they never wanted to do that again.
Now, at this time, did you have your own guitar?
Oh, yeah. We had, we'd taken care of the equipment shortly after we changed names and David joined the band. David had an electric Gibson hollow body archtop guitar and an amplifier. And Mike had an amplifier and an electric guitar and a microphone. And so I had to get an electric bass guitar and amplifier at that point. So that's what I did.
Where did you go?
I went to B Sharp for that.
Now, what kind of bass did you purchase?
Well, I got a Fender Precision Bass and a Fender Bassman amplifier.
And did Lopez give you a deal on it?
Well, Lopez always said he gave us a deal.
did he make you do push-ups or anything?
No. He was a character for sure, definite character. He talked to us, and Mr. Dan, he'd say when I come in the door, or Mr. Dave if it was David. We'd go in there and we'd chat with him for a while, and usually get what we needed. And he'd give us payment plans and stuff if we needed it. So he did good business.
Okay, so now you're signed with Path Productions. I assume you're playing at different venues and more venues. What were some of those places you played as the Chancellors?
Ultimately, we played everywhere. But some of the names are the Marigold Ballroom in Minneapolis. I understand that's gone now.
Yep.
And the Prom Center in St. Paul. Belray Ballroom in Moundsview, Danceland in Excelsior. We played Danceland a lot. We played at Mr. Lucky's frequently, and the Marion KC Hall frequently, the Lion's Den way out in St. Paul. Schlieff's Little City was a lot of fun. That was in Mendota Heights. We did a bunch of Bill Deal gigs out there, too. And Bobby's Mendota Heights, just across the bridge, it used to be Safari Club, Bob McKay's place. Of course, the Dayton's Top Ten Club, whenever they had something going on, we played there pretty frequently.